John's Gospel, please, and chapter 5. John's Gospel and chapter 5, please. Reading from verse number 17. We're just going to break into the chapter here. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh, and hitherto, and I work. The Lord Jesus had just performed a glorious miracle, and the religious leaders were anything but pleased with him, because he performed a miracle on the Sabbath day. And in verse 18 we read, Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And you can see that the religious leaders in Christ's day knew that he confessed that he was equal with God. And they detested him for it. And occasions they would have taken up stones to stone him. So you can see his relationship to the Father. And you can see in verse number 17 his cooperation with the Father. The Father is working hitherto, and he's working in union with the Father. And in verse 19 we read, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. And what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So we can see not only his relationship to the Father, he's God's Son, his cooperation with the Father, they work together in unity. You can see his conformity with the Father. Because whatsoever the Father doeth, the Son also doeth likewise. And you can see in verse number 21, For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. And you can see his co-equality with the Father. Just as the Father hath power to quicken the dead and to raise up the dead, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will, or make alive whom he will. How does he do it? Through the new birth. For except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But watch verse 22 now. For the Father judgeth no man. And that's a big statement. God the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And so he has. The Apostle Paul preached at Athens on the Areopagus that God hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. So God the Father hath committed all judgment unto God the Son. And the first time that God the Son came into the world, he came to be the Savior of sinners. But the second time he will come in great power and glory, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and believe not the gospel, and they will be judged with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. And the reason for all this is his relationship to the Father, his cooperation with the Father, his conformity to the Father's will and ways, his co-equality with the Father, is that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father that sent him. You see, there is an equality in the Godhead. Jesus Christ could say, I and my Father are one. And all men should note that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's co-equal, co-eternal with his Heavenly Father and with God the Holy Spirit. And in verse 24 he speaks with authority. He speaks as the second person of the triune Godhead, God incarnate in the flesh, for he saith, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him, the Father that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that is a mighty text. And let me break it up for you, for this is very wonderful. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, dear people, he that heareth my word, and what a privilege it is to hear the word of the Son of the living God. What a privilege. And people who hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ are privileged indeed. For the Apostle Paul could say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. So it is indeed a privilege to hear the message of the cross. For Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. But not only is there the privilege here, but there's a participation here. How do we participate in the saving power of the gospel? By believing. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And this is why it is a privilege to hear Christ and listen to his word. For he that heareth my word, he saith, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life. Oh, what a possession to come into when you hear his word and you believe on him to the saving of the soul. What a mighty Savior he is. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. The story is told of a company of literary gentlemen. Daniel Webster was asked, in the company of these literary gentlemen, Daniel Webster was asked if he could comprehend how Jesus Christ could be both God and man. No, sir, he replied, and added, I would be ashamed to acknowledge him as my Savior if I could comprehend him. If I could comprehend him, he could be no greater than myself. Such is my sense of sin and consciousness of my inability to save myself, that I feel I need a superhuman Savior. One so great and glorious that I cannot comprehend him. Friend, this is mighty. And this is more mighty than what you think just now. Because Jesus Christ, on his own word, he's calling men and women to believe on him and trust him with their soul. And the Apostle Paul, the former Saul of Tarsus, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor of the saints, he met the risen Christ on the Damascus Road. And the risen Christ said to him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And looking through the light, he said, "Lord, who art thou? What wilt thou have me to do?" What a privilege it was for Saul of Tarsus, the former persecutor and blasphemer, not only to see Christ, but to hear his word and believe that word and be a participation in God's wonderful salvation. Wonderful. And to enter into the glorious and wonderful impartation of eternal life through faith in Christ. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." Present possession. No wonder Paul could say, "I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And upon a life we did not live, upon a death we did not die, another's life, another's death, we stake our all eternally." Beloved, sink or swim, our faith and our trust is in the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we become the children of God? How is one born again? By believing his word and receiving him into their heart as their Savior. And we become the children of God through faith in our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege to hear the participation through believing. The possession hath everlasting life. The promise shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. What a wonderful position. Can I illustrate it? Perhaps I have done it here oft time. But you see, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness. And the ruler of the kingdom of darkness is Satan, the god of this world. And he's blinding the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they should hear and believe and be saved. And I am well aware of this great truth, that each and every time that I preach the gospel, each and every time the seed is sown, the devil is there to snatch it away. And he's there to keep man and woman blinded by the snares of this old world. He's there to keep them in darkness. Friend, he presents all the glories of this world to them, to keep them from thinking about their soul's eternal welfare. You remember when he took the Lord Jesus Christ into a high mountain, and he showed the Lord Jesus all the kingdoms of this world and the glory of them in a moment of time. Now grasp that. The devil showed him the glories of this world in a moment of time. A moment of time. And remember this, that the devil, who's the god of this age, who rules over the kingdom of darkness, he shows men and women who are outside of Christ and without a Savior, he shows them the glories of the world. Ah, but it's only a moment of time, for the pleasures of this world are only but for a moment.
The glories of this world is but for a moment. And the pleasures of this world are but for a moment. And it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this one, quickly, the judgment. So you can see men and women in the kingdom of darkness. They're governed by the god of this world, the devil. He's blinding their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them, and they should be gloriously and wonderfully set free and translated out of this kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love, a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. The children of God through faith in Christ, reconciled to God through the work of the cross. Oh, that's a mighty thing, friend. The night that I came to Calvary 50 years ago, and I bowed my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and I confessed my sin, and I cried out, "Lord Jesus, save me, a sinner." Well, just at that moment, at that split psychological second, the Son of God took me by one hand, and he took God the Father by the other, and he reconciled us. So tonight I can sing near. So very near to God. Nearer I could not be. For in the person of God's Son, I am as near as he. Accepted in the beloved. Well, friend, these things are mighty, you know. And they are wonderful. So here's the text now. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word. Ah, but it's hearing by faith. It's believing that word. It's taking Christ at his word. I take him at his word indeed. Christ died for sinners, this I read. And in my heart I find the need of him to be my Savior. Just like Daniel Webster. That's the Savior I need. Beloved, we need to come to Jesus. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, lost, and lone, and found in him a resting place. And he hath made me whole. Beloved, we need to come to Christ. And Christ saith this in verse 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is. And Christ is standing and he's preaching to this crowd. And he says the hour is coming and now is. It's present with you. Because the King is with them. The Lord of glory is with them. He's present with them. And he says the hour is coming and now is. When the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now watch that phrase. Now, he's not talking about the dead that are in the graves there. No, he's talking about those who are dead in trespasses and in sins. And whenever he preaches the word, when he calls men and women to himself, when they hear him say, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And when you come just as you are, dead in trespasses and sins, he removes the burden and the guilt of sin, and you know what happens? Friend, you get new life. Eternal life, which is the gift of God through faith in our blessed, wonderful Lord and Savior. Yeah. And it's only those who hear his word will live. This is why it's important to know, to hear the voice of the Son of the living God. And those that hear his voice and believe on him shall live eternally.
when Paul preached the gospel at Corinth, he said this: "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, the good news, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." And I hope no one here has ever believed in vain. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died." And that's the historical truth of the gospel. That Christ died for our sins. And that's the substitutional truth of the gospel. He died for our sins, dear believer. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. And thank God, the one who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through faith in him. "For I delivered unto you first of all that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures." And that's the testimonial fact. "For he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." But not only that, friend. Verse 4 tells us that he was buried, and that's the physical truth, and you only bury someone that's dead. You see, when Christ cried, "It's finished," he bowed his head, he dismissed his spirit, he gave up the ghost, and he stepped voluntarily into death. He had power to lay down his life, he had power to take it again. This was the commandment that he received from his Father. And up from the grave, he arose the third day, a mighty victor over death and hell and sin and Satan. And thank God, watch it now, he rose again. That's the fundamental truth of the gospel that we preach. But here's the evidential truth. He was seen after his resurrection by many. Above 500 brethren at once, says Paul. He was seen. Jesus Christ is alive. And the living Savior says to you and me this evening, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me shall not come into condemnation, but is passed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of God's love," a new creation in Christ. No longer standing in the robes of our own self-righteousness, but in the righteousness of God, which is ours through faith in our blessed Savior. That's the Savior that Daniel Webster's faith and trust was in.
Beloved,
watch again in our wonderful text. Jesus is saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation." What a wonderful promise. That's the promise of the risen Savior. All those who are trusting him, they're his sheep. And in his great high priestly prayer, he prayed, "Father, all those whom thou hast given me, I will that they be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory." And let me tell you, he knows his sheep by name. And he'll bring every one of them home to the Father's house. And he'll present them before his heavenly Father with exceeding great joy. Oh, the joy that was set before him. He endured the cross, he despised the shame, and bringing many redeemed souls home to glory. He snatched them out of the kingdom of darkness as brands from the burning.
He delivered their soul from going down to the pit, that their lives might see light.
And for all that trust in Him, they not only get life, but they get light and liberty, for they're set free from the power of sin, on whom the Son sets free. Thank God, He's free indeed. And so, friends, listen. Always remember this. At the moment you trust Christ, you're free. You're set free. The story is told, and I'm sure you've heard it before, concerning the devil and Martin Luther. And the story is told of Martin Luther that during a serious illness, the evil one entreated, entered his room, and looking at him with triumphant smile, unrolled a big scroll which he carried in his arms. And as the fiend threw one end of it on the floor, it unwound itself. And Martin Luther's eyes read the long and fearful record of his own sins, one by one. And that stout heart of Martin Luther quailed before the ghastly roll. And suddenly, it flashed into Luther's mind that there was one thing not written there. And he cried aloud, "There's one thing you have forgotten. The rest is all true. But the one thing you've forgotten, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." And as he said this, the accuser of the brethren and his heavy role disappeared. He that hath the Son hath life. He's got life. And thank God He's got liberty. He's gloriously and wonderfully set free. Sin shall no longer have dominion over. Watch this again. In verse 26, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." They that hear shall live, saith Christ, by receiving the gift of eternal life. It's through faith in the risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. But the wrath of God abideth upon him." Hence hearing His word. Hence believing. Hence opening the door and inviting the Savior to come in. "Behold," He saith, "I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear what? My voice. He that heareth? Will you hear His voice? Will you open the door at His request? If you do, He'll come in and sup with you and you with Him. And He'll make you His child. Remember what He said. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." What a wonderful Savior.
Amen.
Is Jesus my Lord. What a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. Remember that the Father hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. And don't marvel at this, for the hour is coming, which all are in their graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is one that beareth witness of me, and I know that his witness of me is true. He sent unto John, and he bore witness unto the truth, but I receive not the testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But listen, saith Christ. Are you listening? Will you hear his voice? He saith, I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works that the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me, and the Father himself hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. And ye have never heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, whom he hath sent. Him ye believe not. For a sad condemnation to fall from the lips of a compassionate, loving Savior. He was standing in their presence, the greatest preacher that this world has ever known or ever listened to. And yet they rejected him. They rejected him. They had no time for him. And yet their very own scriptures declare that through faith in Christ ye have eternal life, for the scriptures preach and teach him. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Men are still rejecting our blessed Savior. They will not come that they might have life. You remember how he stood on the Mount of Olives and looked over the city of God and cried, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, that stonest the prophets and killest them that are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather her chicks under her wing, but ye would not. He didn't say you could not. He said ye would not. They would not hear. They would not believe. And they would not trust in him. Beloved, that's my message for this evening. The message is simple. Salvation is according to Christ's own word. It's an authoritative word. It's a divine word. It's a God-sent word. And the very scriptures of truth are pointing us to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Beloved, listen to the voice of Christ. The voice of creation cries that there is a living God. There is the voice of your inner consciousness that tells you that there is a God. But the Word of God, the scriptures of truth, they point you to one person, and that person is God's Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's calling you to come. and trust Him, to believe on Him, and to receive the gift of eternal life just simply by believing in Him. He and He alone is Saviour. And neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. God bless you, and God bless His word to your heart. Let's pray. Blessed Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your word. And we thank You, Lord, that You're calling men in love and grace and mercy to come and put their faith and trust in Thee, and just believe Thy word. Give the saving grace. Yes. We thank Thee that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Lord, we leave this word with the Spirit of God, that the Spirit of God will convince the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and bring men and women to true repentance and saving faith in the blessed Saviour, who alone can save. So, Lord, we thank Thee for this time together. Bless Your word. And as we separate and make our homeward journey, take us there in safety. Separate us, we pray, in the richness of Thy grace, mercy, and peace. For our Saviour's sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. And amen. Amen.